Some 30 million people in South Asia have been displaced by floods, which began in mid-June with the annual monsoon rains. More than 1,300 people in the region have drowned, been killed in landslides, or died of flood-related diseases, most in India and Bangladesh. This week, Indian authorities recovered more than 100 decomposed bodies as overflowing rivers receded in the state of Bihar. Heavy rains and flooding are expected to continue for the next 2 months. Miranda Kennedy visited the state of Assam in northeastern India, where floods have taken the lives of more than 240 people, and she filed this report.
In some parts of India, there's a drought this year, but here in the northeastern part of the country, there's water everywhere. This is a cloudburst, a sudden spurt of rainfall, which often causes flash floods. Rashmi Das and her family are taking refuge in a school, one of the few buildings in the area made of concrete. Their mud thatch home was partially destroyed in the flood nearly 3 weeks ago, and since then they have squatted here, surviving on occasional rations from the government. They drink black tea from tin cups as the light flickers with the thunder.
It is hard rain. I'm worried about my house in my village. It will deteriorate even more in rain like this. We cannot leave this shelter because we have nowhere to go. We have to leave it to God.
Government officials and scientists say this year's floods are the worst in Assam's history. This year, some parts of the state were flooded for the first time. Miles and miles of national highway and railroad track have been destroyed.
The total cost, total damage to public property, total damage to infrastructure, etc., is going to be very, very high.
Partha J. Das, a research scholar in the Environmental Science Department at Guwahati University, says this year's floods were made worse in Assam because it sits on a bucket-shaped floodplain surrounded by hills. It's fed by one of the largest and most unpredictable rivers in the world, the Brahmaputra. But Das says the government could have prevented some of the death and destruction.
We don't have a good policy in many respects. We don't have a good flood rehabilitation policy. Relief and all that, that's government's duty. But I don't see if there is any honest and earnest will on the part of the government, irrespective of any political party.
After he visited the state last week, Indian Prime Minister Manmohan Singh set up a task force to look into permanent solutions to the problems caused by the annual floods. Scientists suggest implementing flood zoning laws or establishing a warning and evacuation system or monitoring the weakening of big dams. Some Indian officials blame the neighboring government of Bhutan for releasing flood water from one of their dams, which flowed into the plains. Others say the crumbling embankments along the riverbeds in Assam couldn't contain this year's massive rainfall. Most embankments were built 40 years ago and have outlived their lifespan. Hanifa Bibi fills her bucket with drinking water from a well on one such embankment beside her drowned village. Part of the embankment was swept away by the water. Now the remaining portion has become home to villagers whose houses were overrun by water.
Some officials came and warned us that the embankment might break in monsoon, but they didn't give us anywhere to go. So we just hoped it would sustain the floods, because they have been repairing it. When the floods came, I just managed to rescue my 4 children on a raft.
The Indian government insists it has done its part in providing relief, if not timely warnings. In many places, the army airdropped bundles of food and medicine onto hills, and officials rode through the water to get them. But though the water has started receding now, the trouble is far from over. There's an outbreak of waterborne diseases like diarrhea, malaria, and cholera. Harish Sundarwan, the government official in charge of relief for the state, says they don't have enough funds to provide for the flood victims.
We have been trying our best. No one can claim that this is sufficient because it is very difficult to take care of their various needs considering the huge number of population that have been affected. People can only be taught how to live with the flood. The Eskimos live in the ice, so we'll have to live in the water. We must learn.
That lesson has already imposed itself on the people of Purazani village. Their village is surrounded by what look like vast, shimmering lakes. They're actually rice paddy fields, flooded 5 feet high with water. The crops can't possibly recover this year. After the flood swamped their fields, village farmers started fishing on their land. For NPR News, I'm Miranda Kennedy.